worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Joshua chapter 8, verse 35. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Then Psalm verse 34, verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And then Psalm 78, verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful privilege of being able to disciple our children. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the work of helping and encouraging them to come to know Christ, and then helping them to grow up and grow strong and vibrant in their new walk with the Lord. Father, anoint us as your church afresh with the Spirit of grace that would empower us to be faithful disciple makers, faithfully doing the work of making disciples, starting in our own homes with our own families. Father, set us on fire with a passion to be faithfully carrying out this very important, joy-filled, and great responsibility of the work of discipling as we begin with our children and move forward. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you so much for the ways you call us to live. And Heavenly Father, I just want to pray that you'd call us to more to holiness, that we'd walk more in repentance, turning away from the things of this world and turning more towards you. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for how you've loved us so much. And in your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Our Ten Commandments Project is an ongoing youth discipleship outreach we've been doing for quite a few years now here at American Family Radio, and it continues to be a very exciting and encouraging project as well, and we're looking forward to just a little later in the broadcast having one more of our participants, a young lady by the name of Lily, who's 7 years old. She'll be sharing her speech a little later as well. But at this time, as we often do, I want to take time now to share an article from the AFA Stand that we wrote. This was entitled, Let the Children Come to Me. Again, the title, Let the Children Come to Me. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And then Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Again, Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading again from the article entitled, Let the Children Come to Me. The story is told of a 9-year-old little boy who wanted to share advice with some other boys his age as they were all looking forward to going to the church picnic. His words were, if you go to the church picnic and bring your dog, remember this. When you're eating your food, no matter how much your dog loves you, don't trust him to guard your food when you have to go to the bathroom. Good advice. Another story shared of a 7-year-old little boy who at church one day saw a particular man that his dad knew. The 7-year-old walked up to the man and began walking circles around the gentleman, looking him up and down as he circled him. Finally, the curious gentleman said to the boy, little man, what are you looking for? The little boy, with a very curious look on his face, stated, my daddy said you was two-faced, and I was looking for your other face. It seems that this young man heard something that his daddy didn't mean for him to hear, much less repeat. Parents, we need to be wise about the words we speak in order to be good role models for our children. Also, we should be wise with the words we speak at home because if we don't, they may come back to hurt us and to hit us. Another story shares of a 5-year-old little girl. Very thoughtfully, she asked her dad one day, Daddy, can we get a cat? Dad very apologetically responded, Honey, I'm sorry, but I can't live in the same house with a cat. I'm allergic to cats. His little daughter quickly responded in a very serious tone, Well, Daddy, you could live outside. Our children, in their little minds and in their thinking, very often will think, reason, and come to conclusions that make us chuckle and sometimes just laugh out loud. Time and time again, without meaning to be, they're miniature comedians and life philosophers who have some very interesting ways of thinking and unique perspectives and approaches to life. A 9-year-old little girl one day was giving some advice and counsel to her 2 younger sisters, ages 6 and 7. With real concern and passion, she told them, when Mama is mad at Daddy, don't let her brush your hair. Our children are precious, each unique, and each one a gift from God to us and to the world. How important it is that we agree with God's word and recognize them as the rewards that God says they are. Psalm 127, verse 3 tells us, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Again, Psalm 127, verse 3. Children in this world act, think, and react as children. Their minds will see the world from a child's point of view. We who are entrusted with the very important task of discipling our children are wise to understand this. The greatest need that every child in the world has is the same as the greatest need of every adult, to know Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a simple message. It's extremely simple, so simple that even a child can understand it. John 3:16 tells us, For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Again, John 3:16. The gospel is simple, and we're to do our part to help introduce every child to Jesus Christ. In view of these truths, we as parents are wise to be very intentional and sober-minded about sharing the gospel with each of our children as well as discipling them. Often children come to know Christ in a church setting, but this very important goal does not have to happen in church. Many a child has been introduced to Christ and given his or her life to Christ while at home. Keep this very important reality in mind. All over the world, the vast majority of persons who give their lives to Christ do so before the age of 18. This reality should encourage us to put great commitment and passion into the evangelizing and discipling of children and youth in our world. Whether at home or at church or wherever they are, let's see to it that our children hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's see to it that they're invited to give their lives to him. For parents and others who have or work with children and youth, the following is a simple prayer you can use to invite a child or youth to commit his or her life to Christ. So again, this is a prayer you can use to invite your child to commit their heart to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I recognize that I've sinned and done wrong. I repent of all my sins. Forgive me for all the wrong I have done. I do believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord Jesus, save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving me. And I now confess that I'm a child of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the title of that article, Let the Children Come to Me. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you as well. Thank you again, Father, for the privilege, the honor, and the blessing of being able to disciple our children. Thank you for the opportunity to invite them to read your word aloud to us each and every day. Thank you for the opportunity to pray for them and to pray with them daily. And thank you for the opportunity to allow them to hear us call their name out loud as we pray for them on a daily basis. Father, anoint every family and every home that's listening today with the fresh anointing of the Spirit of prayer. Help us in our homes to be prayerful couples, prayerful families, in such a way that more and more our children will come to be used to living in a culture of prayer in our homes. Father, help us to be wise enough to model a lifestyle of prayer before our children. Help us to be wise enough to model a lifestyle of reading and meditating on your word. And help us to model a lifestyle of living your word before our children as well. Lord, help us more and more to be very serious as the church about doing the work of doing all you would have us to do to evangelize the children in our midst, as well as the children in our communities. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that more and more the church needs to be wide open to going far outside the four walls of the church building to do the work of evangelism and discipleship in our communities. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of boldness, wisdom, and grace to do that faithfully and to reach deep into our communities to draw children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in view of the fact that so many times there's so many children that may literally be out playing on a Sunday morning, not with no plans to get up and go to Sunday school or church, help us as the church to do something about that. Help us to not simply bemoan that tragedy, but help us to decide we're going to get serious to change that reality, to do our part to help invite them in, to bust them in, to do whatever we need to do to help children come to get involved in the church, to come to know Christ, and to begin to grow up as well. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that every day is very important in the economy of time. And help us to know, Lord, that reaching out into our communities is a critically important part of our work. We, as mission churches, are to do this effectively, to do it passionately, and to do it with great compassion, knowing that these children desperately need to come to know Jesus. They desperately need to be discipled. Lord, in view of the fact that we see so many things going on with our youth, so many youths that are killing one another, committing suicide, going through so much turmoil in their lives, help us to be mindful that the answer is Jesus, and help us to take that answer to a world that desperately needs him. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As it is in heaven.
From the Walls Group with the Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We are very blessed and honored to have once again a family that whose daughter participated in our Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. We have with us David and Jenny Schreiner and their daughter Lily, who did participate, and we're grateful to have them on the broadcast today. David and Jenny and Lily, how are you all today?
Good.
We're doing well.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for being with us today, and grateful to have you on. And I want to ask, as we begin, if David and Jenny, who are Dad and Mom, if you all would just say a word of prayer for children in our culture and ministry to children and youth in our culture. And then Lily's going to come and share her speech. But David and Jenny, would you all start off just praying, David first, then Jenny, praying for children and youth in our culture, would you please?
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Jesus, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunities that you give us on a daily basis, particularly as parents with the solemn responsibility of bringing up the next generation of those people who will follow you and live for you in a culture that is increasingly complex and divided and just difficult to navigate. So I pray for the children, not just our children, but every child who is attempting to navigate what seems to be a mess from time to time. We pray that you would grant them courage and boldness and clarity of thought. And we also lift up the parents and the mentors and the adults in their lives, that you would give them boldness and courage and clarity on how to lead and disciple these young men and women as they face a increasingly difficult situation. We thank you for your grace and mercy that sustains us and sustains the children each and every day.
Dear God, I just thank you so much for our country's anniversary. We just celebrated on the 4th of July, and I just pray for the children in our country as they're growing up in this culture, and I just pray for churches and families and schools as they try to influence them for you. And I just pray that we would be strong in that. And I just pray for this challenge. I thank you for this Ten Commandments challenge that was good for our daughter to learn more. And I just thank you for this radio program that brings it to life. In your name, amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for Lily, who will be doing her speech for us today. Thank you for her dad and mom, who graciously and diligently helped her and encouraged her to be a part of the project. Lord, we thank you for all the children that participated. Father, more and more, anoint your church with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be very deliberate and passionate about discipling our children, helping them to come to know Jesus and helping them to grow up. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that the best defense is an offense when it comes to spiritual growth. As we put our children to work in the church, we see that they can become young warriors for your kingdom, to build your kingdom and tear down the kingdom of darkness. Thank you for precious children like Lily, who are doing those sorts of things. And thank you for her dad and mom and all the parents that have been involved in this project. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Just set us on fire with a passion to be doing and being the disciple makers you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, again, we're grateful to have Lily Schreiner, who's going to share her speech with us today. Lily, how are you doing today?
Good.
That's good. That's good. Lily, you sound like you have a lot of confidence in your voice. I appreciate that. I'm glad to hear that. So you're going to share your speech with us. So I want to invite you to go right ahead and share your speech, okay?
Hi, I'm Lily, and I'm going to be reading my Bernstein Bear Bible and the Ten Commandments. Number one, God is the only true God. Number two, do not make statues of God. Number three, do not misuse the Lord's name. Number four, rest on the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Number five, and honor your father and your mother. Number six, do not murder. Number seven, do not commit adultery. Number eight, do not steal. Number nine, do not lie. Number 10, never want what belongs to your neighbor. There was one time when God's people made an idol. Moses was on Sinai, and when he was there, Aaron and the people made an idol. Moses came down and was really angry. He broke the tables, the tablet. This showed the people how mad God was, too. But God forgave the people, and Moses went back up the mountain to make another set of tablets. Whenever we make an idol, God gets angry. We should never put anything above God. Nothing should take the place of God. But if we do, we can repent and God will forgive us. You shouldn't put anything before God because it's not right and it makes God really angry. Sometimes we put stuff before God like pets, money, jobs, stuff like that. And it's just not right, so we shouldn't do it.
All right, Lily, that's an excellent speech. Thank you so much for sharing that speech, and you did a beautiful, beautiful job with it. Thank you for sharing your speech with us today, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, tell me, Lily, how old are you?
Seven.
Okay, you're 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you're seven? Because you sound a whole lot bigger to me than seven and smarter, but you're sure you're seven, right?
Yes.
Okay, then. Did you have fun with your dad's help in writing your speech?
Yeah.
That's good. Glad to hear that. Did you learn anything while you all were doing that together?
Yeah. I learned that if you sin, you can repent, but you learn a valuable life lesson, too.
That's excellent, Lily. Thank you so much again. I really enjoyed listening to your speech, and many, many, many people will be blessed as they listen to your speech as well. Lily, you were going to read a couple scriptures for us now, right?
Yes.
Okay, please go. You were going to read, was it Psalm 23 and Psalm 100? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, please. Go right ahead.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Truly goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
All righty. And in Psalm 100 as well, right?
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth worship the Lord with gladness. Come to his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations.
All right, Lily. Thank you so much. You're a very good reader. Do you like to read, Lily?
Yes.
You sound like you like to read. You're a good reader, so thank you so much. Again, you did a great job with your speech and a great job in reading the scripture. So thanks for being with us today, okay?
Thank you.
All righty. Well, David and Jenny, I want to ask if you'll share what thoughts go through your mind as you listen to your 7-year-old daughter so beautifully be used to the Lord as she just was then. David, start with you, please.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, as parents who are, you know, desperately trying to do the right thing and raise kids that love Jesus, I mean, it almost brings tears to your eyes knowing that your kids appreciate Scripture, that they can read Scripture, that they make the effort to try to understand it, and the fact that, you know, this project gave Lily and I an opportunity to look at a portion of Scripture and try to develop some ideas, you know, simple ideas, but very profound ideas that really can serve as the foundation for a lifestyle and a way of life that, you know, hopefully will honor God and also minister to other people in the process. So, I mean, it was a, you know, these types of projects, particularly as a guy who teaches Bible at the seminary level for a job, you know, these types of things, you know, really warm my soul because it's at the heart of what I do and it's at the heart of what I think is absolutely valuable for the church. The next generation, starting early, knowing Scripture, reading Scripture, saturating their minds with what God says through Scripture. These are the things that are going to carry the next generation forward and hopefully help continue to navigate this thing called life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing. Jenny, would you share your thoughts as well?
Yes, I really liked this project, especially because, it was her assistant principal, Mrs. Taylor, at school that sent us the email with the project idea, and we said, we'll try that. But she had just learned in first grade at her school. She goes to a Christian school in Lexington, and they had just learned the Ten Commandments this year as one of their Bible projects. So it was a good review of something she already learned and already kind of knew, but to dive into it a little deeper was great, and to think about putting other things before God is definitely convicting, and think about in our own lives, well, what do we spend a lot of our time on? What do we sometimes put before God? So it was a great reminder. And then I also really like Psalm 23 because she had memorized that one in kindergarten as part of her kindergarten graduation. So it was all things she had seen before, but going into a little more depth was just helpful for us as a family.
Mm. Well, I genuinely appreciate both you, David and Jenny, sharing your thoughts as well. And of course, you know, it is a discipleship project. And again, we have fun with it. We have fun with it. But at the same time, it's a serious project because we live in a society where we see so many children and young people literally dying for so many different reasons as it relates to them getting involved in darkness and things from the kingdom of darkness that destroy children. So again, thank you all so much for taking the time to allow Lily to be a part. I want to ask if each of you would very briefly, we've only got about a couple minutes left here though, but briefly pray for the church to become much more serious about evangelizing and discipling children and youth in our culture. David and Jenny, would you briefly do that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus, we lift up the church nowadays, or right now, and we humbly ask that you would energize us to reinvigorate ourselves and reinvest in this thing called discipleship, biblical literacy, discipleship through Scripture, however you want to call it, that we would get excited and motivated and reinvigorated for this prospect of
encouraging the next generation, encouraging our children in the ways of God, in the teachings of God, so that they could be armed and that they could be prepared to face all the things that are going to be thrown at them as they grow up and as they live life. We have to understand, Lord, help us understand that our children need to be equipped, and that must begin with a scriptural foundation, because scripture is your word for us. So Lord, help us to understand what is at stake. Help us to understand what we need to do to, again, empower the next generation to be able to live for you in a world that is fraught with difficulties and dangers.
Dear Lord, I just thank you once again for a country where we have freedom to study your word, and we can go to church and we can go to school and learn from your word. And I just pray for our country, for the children that are growing up in this generation, just for them as they study the scriptures. I pray for our churches. I thank you for wonderful teachers like Mrs. Taylor and Mrs. Long that brought this project to light for us. And I just thank you for what we're seeing and just in your word every single day as a family. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Again, our phone guests today were David and Jenny Schreiner and their daughter, Lily. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Music of Elevation Worship with Oh Same. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, we were privileged to have Lily Schreiner, one of the participants in our Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, shared her speech earlier on the broadcast, and her dad and mom, David and Jenny, on with us as well. For this last segment, we have David, her dad, who's going to stay on with us. And David, I want to ask if you'll take a moment to kind of further introduce yourself, tell our listeners more about what you do, and then we're going to be talking more about the importance of discipling children and youth. But tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Great, absolutely. I currently teach at Asbury Theological Seminary in Kentucky. I teach Old Testament there, so I teach a variety of courses in Old Testament studies and specific ways of interpreting Scripture, such as inductive Bible study and those types of methods. And so this idea of Scripture reading and discipleship and empowering the next generation and empowering the church to face the currents of culture. I mean, this is something that I do on a daily basis. And so when you come across a project that is gauged at getting children actively engaged in elements of scriptures in scripture for the sake of discipleship and understanding scripture more, that's something that strikes at, who I am and what I do on a daily basis. And so it was an exciting project for our daughter, who's only 7, to really get after that. And previous to Asbury Seminary, I actually used to work down the road from American Family Radio at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. And when I was there, I worked with a colleague who is all about family discipleship. and makes that kind of the cornerstone of his ministry as well. So this idea of discipleship and scripture reading has been a part of what I've been doing for a living and a vocation for quite some time.
Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing that too. And oh, and by the way, our producer Isaac has been a student at Wesley Biblical Seminary as well. And so we're from, and Wesley has actually, the current president has been up and come and visited, and we're good friends with him as well. So glad to learn that.
Yeah.
Want to ask if you'll share your thoughts about this, because you just alluded to this, but very simply, the act of parents having their children to read the Word of God aloud to them on a consistent basis is actually a hugely productive discipleship work in a home. Yet, sadly, my experience, and I've had the privilege of being a pastor right at about the last 50 years, but many parents, they just don't do that. And when a parent commits to having their child read the Word of God aloud, that is so productive, much more so than many parents seem to grasp. Would you share your thoughts on why that's so important for parents to help their children along the line of doing that?
Yeah, you can go in many different directions with this, but it is, you know, there's something to be said about hearing the gospel or hearing the message of scripture, and then reading it out loud. You know, we have to remember that this is how Paul's letters were originally given. They were read out loud, and so there's a fundamental power about hearing things and hearing scripture that just goes a long way. And then you have other passages that talk about meditating on scripture. Literally, the word that's used there in a couple Old Testament contexts is to mumble. It's this idea of saturating your mind so much with scripture that you just find yourself processing it through speech and audibly, and you almost sound like you're mumbling. Mm-hmm. This type of thing is at the core of creating a way of life. There's a connection within scripture between reading scripture out loud, hearing scripture being read to you, and the construction of a way of life, an ethos that just defines everything and permeates everything about us. And you're right. It is a shame. It is a shame that this is something that is not being taught. I mean, we talk about discipleship. Discipleship in so many ways is kind of an in vogue word, and rightfully so. And there are different elements to talk about, you know, when it comes to discipleship and what is it and what does it entail. But fundamentally, discipleship also has to be built on the pillar of reading scripture, hearing scripture, not just as individuals, but also as a family unit. Because if you want that cohesive unit amongst in your household, you have to have things that bind you together, and scripture has to be one of them. Worship has to be one of them. I have a colleague, and a friend who, you know, we kind of joke about this, but laugh about it, because when you first experience it, it's kind of awkward. But when they have people over, one of the things that they demonstrate to the people that come over is the singing of hymns alongside scripture reading as a way that brings their family together. They do it at the dinner table. And so if you're not ready for it, you sit down and have a meal with them, and all of a sudden the family is reading scripture out loud and singing hymns. They'll ask you, hey, what's your favorite hymn? And at first you're like, What it's this? I mean, why do you want to know this? Well, you know, get ready. You're going to all sing that hymn as you read scripture. Mm-hmm. So it's these types of things that, you know, are sadly, underappreciated and underemphasized, but must form the core of discipleship.
Mm. You know, I appreciate you sharing that. And that touches on, for example, at the beginning of the broadcast, as we read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, amongst other things, that passage talks about decorating your home with the Word of God.
Right, right.
And it's to be a part of our lifestyle, and yet that's so in too many capacities, it seems to be overlooked. And I think of this too, that sometimes for some believers, they seem to get uncomfortable when you read long passages of Scripture in public. And how tragic that is, because what better thing can you do than reading the voice of our Creator out loud at length?
Yeah.
So no, your thoughts on that?
I mean, you know, yeah, no, it's absolutely correct. I mean, just take a different example. We just came off the July 4th holiday, and sometimes mm-hmm. there are places that will read long portions of the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why they do that, because audibly hearing that founding document forces people to remember the things that fundamentally define us. And the same thing is with Scripture. But you're absolutely right. We can't sit still. Our attention span is so short nowadays for a variety of reasons. We get anxious. We get annoyed if we sit here and we have to sit here and sit in one place and just listen for an extended period of time. But, you know, these are, you know, you hear, what's the story in Ezra? Ezra, during his great reforms, he's just up there reading Torah from a pulpit, mm-hmm. from a podium, and everybody is listening to it. And it's not complicated. He's just reading Torah. And mm-hmm. people are being broken at the sound of God's voice. Mm-hmm. This is the way that you're supposed to conduct yourself. This is what God says about who he is, about who you're supposed to be as a people. And there's something that happens when you listen to that over an extended period of time that can potentially, through the power of the Holy Spirit, fundamentally break people and urge them on to reform, reinvigoration, recalibration, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, you're exactly right. We don't like that because we don't like to sit still.
Mm. You know, and I think we're wise to be reminded of the fact that, you know, as John chapter 1, verse 1 clearly tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we're reading the Word of God, we're interacting with Jesus himself. We're spending right. time with him. We're spending time in his presence. He's touching us. He's pouring grace into us. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Well, we know we have to eat to sustain our physical lives. But more important than that, we need the Word of God to sustain our entire beings. And so getting into the Word is so important for all of us. And so I think of this, too, that like I really appreciated the confidence with which Lily read. Because to be quite honest, you don't hear that with children that often, at least I don't. And that, too, is something to note, too, and God can use that. So, as I mentioned, we like to have kids to come on the broadcast, and as I alluded to earlier, the Holy Spirit uses the voice of a child reading Scripture in some wonderful ways, and sometimes I share with people, if you want to hear what God sounds like, he sounds surprisingly like a five-year-old little girl sometimes when she's reading Scripture in public. His voice can sound like whoever's reading, but it's the right. voice and the power of God at work. And so really appreciate having children come on too. So anything else you'd like to share specifically about your experience of helping Lily with her speech as she prepared it?
Yeah. There are a lot of things as a dad when you're helping your seven-year-old do something like this. You fight with them a little bit. They don't quite understand things. So it's a very fun experience. It can mm-hmm. be an emotional experience for them because, you know, with our daughter, she tends to get a little worked up on things, especially if she doesn't quite understand it. So mm-hmm. working with her through the process of, look, you know, it doesn't have to be complex. This is just simple.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you, one of the things that we had to wrestle through was, well, what Bible am I going to use? Well, honey, just use the Bible that's comfortable for you. We're not asking you to be overly complex or complicated. Mm-hmm. Look, you've read this Berenstain Bear Bible. We've read it to you ever since you've been born. Like mm-hmm. literally, you're seven. We've read it to you for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Bible that is comfortable for her. So, okay, so you're going to talk about it. So just use this that you're comfortable with. And then, mm-hmm. and then working with her through that and then working to develop ideas. And well, what does this mean? And what can we learn from this? And, mm-hmm. you know, as a seven-year-old, what lesson do you learn mm-hmm. based on this story and those types of things? So it's a very rewarding process. To help a very young child, again, do something that I do on a daily basis, and that mm-hmm. is read Scripture, process it, understand what it's telling you so that you know how it should positively affect your life. Because you alluded to something very important, and I'll finish with this. As West, I'm a Wesleyan. I come from the Wesleyan tradition. I teach at a Wesleyan school. WBS in Jackson is a Wesleyan school as well. We view Scripture, a lot of us view Scripture as a means of grace. And that is to say that as you read Scripture and as you study Scripture, it becomes a conduit through which you can experience divine grace, through which you can experience
David, for
God
time
Almighty
reasons,
himself.
I'm sorry, for time reasons, we're going to have to jump in right here. We've got to get you back on sometime in the not-too-distant future to have you share again. But thank you so much again for being with us today. And again, please pray much for parents like David and Jenny and children who participate in this project, because it's a powerful project making a real impact. So we appreciate David and Jenny. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even right now and commit your life to Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I repent of the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please email me, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll look forward to hearing from you and want to share with you some materials that will help you to grow in your new walk with the Lord. Again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.